three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
NBL Pocket Podcast, 5th of August, Joseph Kaur here, Andrew Canyon there. We're talking Boomers, USA, Slovenia, France, bronze medal games. Andrew Canyon, you've got the first thing. What do you want to say?
Yeah, it's pretty much anything but the NBL. So this is the Olympics Pocket Podcast today, yeah, isn't it?
Precisely.
After two big games, Boomers, USA, France, Slovenia.
I want to start with this. I thought the France-Slovenia game was it the game of the tournament? It was up there. That was really entertaining.
Certainly in terms of watchability, yeah. It was fun, back and forth, had some runs.
It had scoring. It had defense, like impactful defensive plays to preserve or push a lead. That was basketball.
Yep.
Damn near at its purest. Had a couple of bad plays here and there, but on the whole, spectacular.
Still a shame about the refereeing.
Yeah, FIBA refs seem to lose control a little bit there.
Yeah, they seem to lose control. And some of the, I don't think, there's not a common interpretation of what a goaltend is. Seems that you can sometimes knock it off the rim when it's essentially in the rim.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I think
interesting
they do respond to whoever makes the most noise. Like Squeaky Wheel gets the grease. I think the most obvious one being when the ball went off Durant.
Yeah.
And the bench was there and they got up. Because that was as clear as day that Nick Kay came out of his hands straight onto Durant's rather clownishly sized foot and went out of bounds. But, you know, the bench was animated and that seemed to get the call.
And why not use the replay system? They got it there.
I don't know how FIBA works and how they do things. I think they just value, and to FIBA's credit on this one, they just seem to value above anything else the speed of the game. Mm. And it makes for a fantastic viewing experience. It's so quick compared to the NBA, which is terrible. NBL, which can be spotty at times, but not too bad. But the FIBA game just goes so fast, and it's had its effects on Luka Doncic because he was exhausted at the end of that game. What did you think?
Yeah, he looked wrecked. I mean, he copped an injury when he went trying to save that ball out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hit the
glass. Smashed into the Perspex stuff. That wouldn't have been good either. But, yeah, he just looked gassed. He still got a triple-double, though. Not a bad
effort. He always will. But he looked the final play where he kind of gave it up to a player who wasn't in any better position than him.
Yep.
He had Gobert in front of him, so maybe that scared him out of the drive or whatever, but he kind of gave it up. He just didn't have the gas to get by Gobert on that moment. And
yeah.
I don't think it was a good take. I mean, great defensive.
Yeah, it was. I was just going to say, does that represent the first loss? First Slovenia with Luka Doncic?
Yes.
In the team? Yeah.
Maybe ever. I don't know what they did in their qualifiers, but they obviously didn't lose too many games to get here, so it may be his first loss in uniform. I'd have to double check that. But
yeah.
And what a loss. I asked this question because, Boomer centric, I suppose. Who would you have rather have seen lose? Are you happy with the Slovenia loss because you think the Boomers could beat them more likely, or would you have preferred France?
Yeah, I've always thought that we would match up better against Slovenia. I think we can deal with one guy who's, a killer. You let him do what he wants to do and just stop everybody else. I think our defensive schemes can deal with that. But the physical size of France, I think, would have really bothered us over the course of the game.
I agree. Gobert just looks such a handful and snuffs out everything, and especially with Baines now out. Yep. It's a good result. Are you particularly, how confident are you? If you can put it on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm not terribly confident. I thought Slovenia looked unbelievable.
Slovenia looked really good. And it would just be Boomers basketball, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it lose?
Yeah, how many Olympics have we tried to get into and not won a medal? Slovenia went, oh, what's this Olympics thing you're talking about? Oh, yeah. All right, we'll take a medal. Thanks a lot.
Why not?
It would be typical Boomers result to miss out, but
yeah,
I'm feeling confident on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to give it like a 6 to the Boomers.
Wow. Just though. That's
over midway.
I mean, Australia ranked as the third best team in the FIBA rankings. I think Slovenia were in the mid-teens.
Yeah.
But, you know, the game favors the Boomers, but I'll be very interested to see the betting line.
What do all these other teams have that we don't have?
Shooting.
And knockdown shooters.
Yeah. And it's a worry. You said this from the start of the tournament, and you're absolutely right. It's where Brokhoff is missed. It's where, that's about it, really.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem with Australian basketball. We don't have enough shooters.
Mm. On the wings.
Yeah. I don't know. We need to. How are we coaching these kids? Come on. We need better shooting.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we're never going to be the most athletic team.
No.
You know, okay, well, we may be on par with some European teams, but we're always going to lose out that against the US and, you know, African teams and so on. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be better. Yeah, we can hang our hat in defense. That's great. But you still got to put the bucket, the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, I agree. No, you're absolutely right. I guess the name you know I'm going to bring up is Vasiljevic. I mean, I think he is a knockdown shooter and a decent body that can defend if his injury rehab goes well. He's there. Let's talk about the Boomers. Yep. Let's go into that game. I've got this, and I think Body wrote an article that this is basically it. Australia got a smell of themselves in the first half, thought, oh, we're pretty good, and then they wound up chasing their own hole. They didn't. They got a little too cocky is the wrong word, but certainly a little too self-confident, and then got whacked and were totally shell-shocked in the third. Do you have a different take on it? Or?
No, I think you're right. And I think that the defensive rotations were pretty good to begin with. There was a lot of effort, and effort just faded away. You know,
you're putting it to effort, or you're putting it to fatigue? Sorry to interrupt.
I think it was emotional fatigue. I think they invested so much emotion into that game that it just sort of collapsed on them, and I think they just couldn't lift themselves up. So I think there was too much emotion and not enough physical energy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, no, you sent me that text. I thought that was pretty apt.
But you know, I don't know what did a bigger disappearing act, whether it was the Boomers' effort in defense or Joe Ingles' all-around game.
No, we'll go through we'll give a report card for the big players in this one. I want to ask this. Did Australia let this slip, or did the USA roll over the top of them?
We let it slip for sure, in the sense that it should have been – we probably would have still lost, but we could have lost in a more competitive way, I think. We were 15 up, man.
It's a lot of points to be up, isn't it? And it wasn't like and it wasn't just like Golding got hot, although we did hit a nice three to end the first quarter, but it wasn't just like guys who – it's not like Dele hit three threes, you know. It's not like something out of body happened. It was done on defense. It was done moving the ball. It wasn't a super high pace. It was very much Boomer's wheelhouse when they were up. I honestly think if I had to choose between was it a slip up by Australia or did the USA roll over the top, I think the USA rolled over the top. Durant was the one American who kept his poise through the first half.
Yep.
And I thought he was physically unstoppable. He was just, you know, I thought there were symptoms of both, definitely both a slip and whatever, but I think more the latter. I mean, there were a couple of moments where I thought, we just cannot physically and athletically go with this team and skill-wise as well. Lillard hit a shot over Sobey where he was kind of like Dirk Nowitzki back on 1 foot.
Yeah,
and I remember just thinking, Damian Lillard is up here and Nathan Sobey is down here and there's no strategy to sell for that. The Durant fadeaway in the post, like no one in Australia can mimic that.
Yep.
And then I remember when Zach LaVine, I think, got a steal off Dellavedova and had it in the open court. And he was going pretty fast, but he took off from outside the keyway and dunked. He even made Thibault look obsolete.
Yeah.
He was so athletic at the hoop. He was looking down into the rim. He was paused in midair. Like that guy is the most athletic person I've ever seen, ever, I think.
That was really impressive.
And I just went, they're better than Australia, naturally.
Yeah.
I thought it was more of a... Yeah, after the third quarter, USA came out, hit him on the chin, and Australia really just fell straight to the floor. Not that they quit, or they just got – it was a real wake-up call.
No, I mean, there was you're right about that Sobey play. It's just, you know, he played good defense on that play, and that was kind of the story of the game. They're just outgunned. You know, these guys are just bigger and stronger and can more athletic.
Faster.
Yeah. There was a photo on Twitter of KD taking a jump shot.
Yeah, I saw
over
that.
Nick Kay. And like he was, the ball is sort of a foot above Nick Kay's hand. So
yeah, I know. KD's freakish.
Shooting, you know, he's basically shooting it down into the hoop. Yeah, it's just how do you compete against that? And clearly you don't. But yeah, I think the Boomers now, this is a real turning point for them. They've got to decide who they are. Like for so long it's been gold, gold, gold. And, you know, that's always been a stretch target.
Yep.
And they haven't made it. And now do they just crumple in a heap? Or do they go, now bugger it, we're still gonna be the best performing Australian basketball team that's ever been?
Mm-hmm.
This is the question for them, and it's a real test of their mettle. And they're up against a team now who probably are just as emotionally deflated.
Yeah, I think more so the close loss, Slovenia. I mean, to die on a block like that. I mean, they're coming in bruised. I don't know if that hinders or hurts them. I think with Eastern European types like that, it helps them. I think they're going to be hurt. They're going to be cut. It's the bull that's got the sweat up and the slight cuts that is the danger if you know your bullfighting. I think that we saw a real schism in the game of Australia. You saw the new and the old, and we're going to go through it.
Yeah.
The new, like, I thought Exum was good in patches, a little bit reckless at times, but brought a lot.
Yeah, I think you gained more than you lost, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you lost a bit, but yeah, I like the way you put that. You gained more than you lost. Couple of the young guys sort of coming through a little bit. Like I thought Nick Kay represents the new group.
Yep.
He doesn't strike me as an older, like, and you saw that older group, I thought, kind of take a step back. I thought Mills was guarded really well by Drew Holiday.
Yeah,
he was in a vice all game.
Yeah.
Yep. He was smothered. You brought him up earlier. Joe Ingles, what do you want to say?
Well, he makes a habit, unfortunately, of not turning up in the games that really matter.
Did he play?
He played the first 3 minutes.
Oh, I was like, oh, Joe Ingles coming to the party. Two threes to start with.
Yep.
Well, he got nine, finished with nine.
And yep.
That was a trash time three. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're exactly right. You know, and I think he probably statted higher in trash talk and, you know, whining than attacking the rim, making good basketball plays. He is such an infuriating player to watch. He operates in slow motion. How he shoots, you know, close to 50% in the NBA, I don't know, because as soon as he gets a FIBA ball in his hand, he's lucky to be 33. Oh, it's just, I just don't see what he's bringing to the table.
Ouch. Yeah, I see what he brings, a little bit of secondary playmaking, a little bit of shot making, but you know, not heck of a lot. Do you have an explanation for it? I just, because you look at Joe Ingles, big name. You know, you expect him to be in that sort of high teen scoring sort of tandem with Patty. He's not even close to that. And, you know, he's always, but it's not like, oh, he got slow. He's always been a little bit that way. When he was really young.
He looks slower though. He looks real slow.
His first and second dribble were glacial.
Yep.
He was getting by no one. But, you know, he's still catch and shoot player. He missed one three that was critical. I remember when he missed it, I was like, oh, man, he put it long. The game was kind of there in the balance. Australia had just conceded the lead. He was wide open, and I thought, that's going to do it. I mean, the question is, do you keep him in the starting lineup? Now you got Luka Doncic, right? Let's talk about strategy now.
I actually don't mind that matchup, though. Having said that, paid out on Joe Ingles. I actually don't mind him defending Doncic because I think it's probably one of your better options. Doncic isn't quick.
You wouldn't stagger Thybulle's minutes
I would rotate him through, don't get me wrong, but I'd still keep the starting lineup as is.
Same. I would too. I'd certainly be surveying that pretty closely where I'd be looking at Thybulle on Doncic. I'd want to get a nice look at how the two defend each other and make a decision early on mid-game. Are you going predominantly Ingles? Are you going predominantly Thybulle? Thybulle must be the better defense. But they seem to like Thybulle not, because Thybulle barely ever played on Durant.
They seem to like
Thybulle
sort of intercept, you know, sort
agitator,
of, getting the passing lanes, right?
Which I don't hate, but I thought Durant got a little bit too comfortable. I didn't think Nick Kay was a good matchup. I didn't understand that. He was always going to rise up over the top of Nick Kay. I didn't get it.
Yeah. No, I didn't like that matchup either. And I mean, KD, you got a couple of kind calls and all that, but it's just no stopping the man. You know,
there is no stopping it. Yeah.
And maybe that's what they went with. They're just like, well, he's gonna score on us no matter who we put on him. So,
yeah, yeah, it's true.
I'm sort of all over the place at the moment after watching both those games.
Mm.
If you saw my Twitter feed, I rode the emotions today. I was pumped. I was disappointed. I've gone through the five stages of grief?
Five stages. anger, reasoning, disappointment, a couple others.
I'm not at acceptance yet. I don't think I'm there yet.
I got to acceptance pretty early. I was, when I saw the margin at 20 points, I was like, I have other stuff to do today. I'm okay with this. There's still a bronze on the table because I'd never thought that the Boomers were a real, you know, they were a shot at the gold, but not one that if I had a gun to my head, I would have bet on.
No
way. So I was okay with it. And to be honest, I'm of the opinion of this. I almost prefer that they lost this game. I know that sounds crazy, but I'd rather have the swing at the USA and lose and compete for a bronze than sort of get into a gold medal game. Let's say they played Nigeria for some strange reason and just got through the gold medal game. And then in the gold medal game got beaten by 20 and you get handed a silver medal and it's like, yep, there's your first ever medal. You found it in a cereal box. This way it's like, it is do or die. You've got to win it. There is something. It's not a challenge if victory is guaranteed, and victory is no way near guaranteed to get the medal. So I like the theater of it very much.
Yeah, I like that too. And I think for the Boomers, getting back to it, I thought this earlier, and I think Liam Santa Maria had a thing with Gazy on his podcast earlier tonight.
I listened to the first 30 seconds and then haven't, what did they say?
He stole my thunder because I was basically, I'm thinking the Boomers, they need to reflect on who they're representing, all the legends gone by, you know, the Phil Smythe, Andrew Gaze, you know, all the sort of Andrew Vlahov, Larry Sengstock, all the great Boomers from years gone by. Like, they would have killed to have an opportunity to play, you know, play for a gold medal, bronze medal. And some did and didn't come up, but they would all be in there. It's like you've got this, going back to Boomers culture, they're so big on it. You've got all those dudes just egging you on, saying, do it, do it, do it. Mm. You know, I think they need to channel that. And I wish they could get, I don't know, maybe they will. I hope they can get some of those guys to talk to them and sort of,
you know, Anstey's the one. If I can put a face to the name and a head to the spear, I think it's him. He's the most vocal on Twitter by far. Yep. He's the most like, oh, I'm watching the game at such and such a bar. I don't think he's doing that anymore because of lockdown, but he seems to me the most vocal voice. He's written a book. He knows how to organize his thoughts. I'd be leaning, and he's been a coach. He's been a player in Europe, in Australia, in the NBA.
Yeah,
he's the guy I'd be, if I was Basketball Australia, he'd be the guy I'd be looking at bringing in full-time, long-term.
Right. Oh, you're thinking for next.
I'm thinking Boomers this coach, tournament. Right? I'm thinking, well, maybe not coach, but certainly ambassador-y, culturally something. Yeah, yeah. I think Anstey's a special sort. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Look, I'd be happy to see him involved in any way. I thought he got shafted from the Melbourne job, so. Thank you.
There you go. I concur. Gorgian. A lot of talk. A lot of talk about the lack of a timeout in the third.
Yep.
I don't think you can dispute that. 5 minutes went by, no thigh ball, no timeout, score wrecked. I think it was a 17-0 run.
Yep.
What was he thinking? What were you thinking at the time?
Call the timeout, Gorge. Do you know?
Well, is that his MO? Has he got a reputation for doing that?
I didn't think so. I thought he used to, from my memory, he was sort of always pretty quick to...
Same. I thought he was...
Sort of corral the troops and get them back on the same page. I wonder,
what was he waiting for? It was painfully obvious to most.
This is highly skeptical. Oh, skeptical? What's the word? I can't think of a word.
Controversial?
I don't know. But I noticed
a couple of... You tell me what it is.
Let me just tell you what it is, then you define it. Okay. I noticed a couple of times last year in the NBL, Gorge didn't know some of the rules. Like, ooh, of the way the game was officiated. I'm wondering, did he understand the way the timeout situation works?
Oh, surely. But that's where, maybe he didn't. But he's got three assistants there. He's got Cape Horn, someone else, to kind of go like, Gorgian, this is getting away from us.
Yeah,
so if they've been afraid to approach him, that's not a good assistant coachmanship.
True.
But you may be right.
I don't know. It's a weird one to say, right? But I'm just trying to think, you know, root cause, why would you not call a timeout? It would be because you think you need to save them.
You need to save it or whatever,
but
yeah.
Use it or lose it because you only get the two in the last little bit of the game anyway. So the third one, you got to use it.
Yeah, you can
so
burn it.
You may as well, especially in that situation. So, look, that's a weird take. I got no evidence of it, other than him sort of getting confused a few times last year in the NBL about some of the rulings.
I don't think it would have changed a lot. I felt like the USA had realized what they needed to do, and it was suffocate Paddy, force turnovers, hit shots, get open, get 2 feet in the paint. They were getting in the keyway so easily and picking off. They hit so many threes, wide open. Tatum had one where he was completely naked.
Yeah.
Booker had a couple where he just had it. So I feel like the momentum, it couldn't be arrested.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything that Gorgian could have said or done. It wouldn't have hurt, but that it was going that way. Yeah. And that sounds very defeatist, but there's nothing you can say in a timeout to make Nick Kay's arm grow 2 feet long. And blocked Durant. I thought it was over.
Joe, you got to tell me this. Okay.
Okay.
Should Dellavedova been playing in that game?
All right. It's amazing you said that. This is my next point. Dellavedova, 12 minutes, four fouls, 2 turnovers, 0 points. Should he have been playing in that game? Oh, man.
Should he have been playing in this tournament?
Ouch. Yeah. Ouch.
Like, I know why he is. Don't get me wrong. It's a bit of a facetious comment.
But... No, I know what you're saying. And there's definitely the question of should he be starting? I mean, then you go on with Exum. Man, Exum's kind of green. As much as I like him, and yes, he was a net positive, he's a little bit reckless in his play. This is the Ben Simmons question.
Mm.
This is the Ben Simmons hole that he leaves there, because it's not a strong spot for the Boomers if he's not in consideration for it.
Yeah.
But in answer to your question, should he be in the tournament? Yeah, I think so. I think he should be. Man, is there anyone else who can play point guard who should be in this team? You've got Sobey around. I'm not
point guard.
No, I'm not convinced of that either. Who's the guy? Who could it be?
Yeah.
It's like the McCarron, Mitch Norton.
Yeah. It's a problem. You would have to have gone with McCarron over Sobey or maybe Josh Green.
I'm amazed that didn't get more consideration.
Yeah, McCarron's got to come into the consideration for future tournaments anyway.
I agree. I think he's and nothing else he can dribble the ball. Can he dribble the ball against big defenders? I would like to think so. And he can defend his position. And he can get out and run too. I would have given a more look at him. I think that was a bit unfair. But still, like, it's a Dellavedova.
You've got the Giddy as well. We're forgetting Giddy.
I'm not entertaining that. I'm not like a lot of people. I don't care about access to interviews with Giddy. I think that's 95% of the driving force behind his inclusion. Not interested in that. I'm sure he's a lovely kid. No interest. No. He can't guard his position.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
4 years' time, or 3 years' time even, we'll definitely have that chat. But no, I don't think so. Dellavedova, though, yeah. I mean, I hope Melbourne United have signed him for what, 2-3 years, 700K?
I think there'd be some very tight sphincters over in the Melbourne United head office.
I just wish there were tight purses and didn't give them that money. I mean, that's a lot. That's cotton money. Yeah, I just thought, I thought Dellavedova was done a long time ago, and he's had a horrible run of his injury and against that team in particular. Now, Slovenia, not so much, you know, who they played the time before. Germany, not so much, but against Team USA, young, big, strong. I'm afraid his time has passed. Yep. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's cooked. He's just got he's never been an explosive player, but he's really got no explosion off the bounce now. His jump shot is completely broken. He doesn't have that little floater in the lane that he used to have.
Yeah, I remember that. And, he can't get into the lane is the problem.
And then one of his great advantages was he would have like a rolling Bogut or something for the oop.
Yes.
Or Bainesy, and neither of those guys are there. So he
kind of... Landale's popping half the time, and Nick Kay's doing the same. Yeah,
so you've just got, he's just got nothing to work with, even if he does happen to get in the key. So, and he's not the defender he once was either. He's solid. Yeah, he's relatively solid, you know, and you can kind of rely on him to get the offense started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I guess there's value in that, but
yeah, that's what your backup point guard does to close quarters when your star's getting a rest. That's not the role of your star. You know, that that shouldn't be the number one strength of your starter. No, I think the game's passed him by.
Yep.
And it's sad. It'll be his last Olympics. And, you know, he's been a great boomer, but, you know, you get everything's a piece of fruit. You either pick it at the right time or you let it hang too long on the vine and it falls down and rots. You got to pick it. And unfortunately, I think he's hung on the vine a little too long. Patty Mills, we spoke about it. 15 points, 5 of 14, just could not get open. He misses Baines badly.
Yep.
Baines, a big guy, big screens. He's missed him this game. He missed him last game. His percentages took that slight hit, this one in particular.
Yep.
But Drew Holiday, I thought, was...
It was a lockdown.
And bigger body, faster body, and no Baines to go around. It was a bad measure.
Yep.
I got here some dull questions. Would guys like Creek, Bolden, Simmons have helped? Simmons, obviously, yes.
Yep.
Bolden or Creek?
I think Bolden's done. He's not even playing anymore, is he? Is he doing cryptocurrency or something?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
I don't care about Bolden. Like,
no.
Nah. Creek, yes, because he's got mongrel and he's got muscle. And I think those are the two things you need against the US. And I don't think we had enough of it.
Yeah, he could have just taken a few of those Ingles minutes just to get a little bit more heat on the hoop. Yeah, yep. I think Creek would have helped. And I think they were quick to pull the pin on him because of the whole drug texting or whatever it was.
He's in the US.
He was with them in Vegas.
He's only got himself to blame, though, doesn't he, in a sense? Mm. You know, like when you got to, unless you're playing AFL or rugby, you got to be a very good boy in Australian sport.
You got to wait till you retire. Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad for Creek. But yeah, I think he would have helped a little bit, but not in any, you know.
Not in a change the game kind of way.
No, absolutely not. What do you think of Landau?
He looked like he was nervous.
Yeah.
Just missed a few bunnies.
Not, did indeed.
Just didn't look quite ready for the moment.
Oops, pardon me. Text message there. Yeah, I think they're in a bit of trouble.
Jock Landau probably just paying.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
What are you doing?
I think, so here's the question. Are they going to win bronze?
Yes, they are. Luca's not 100%.
Yeah, that is true. He looked really tired / hurt, but I don't know, man.
I think.
I'm very worried.
Who's looking at Slovenia tonight? He played really well. They've got Luca. They've got that Brad Newley guy, Precipio.
Yeah.
And then they've got the American Slovenian.
Yes.
Toby.
Oh, man, they look big. Oh, that Toby guy looks much bigger than
him. He's 7 foot, apparently.
Yeah, well, he looks it, I think.
He reminds me of John Mooney.
Yeah, he does a bit. He does a bit. I think he looked quite good. Man, I can't possibly say Australia aren't going to win the bronze, but I want to say this. They don't look scared. They don't. They have guys who shoot the ball and have big balls.
That's true.
Ingles, I want to see the balls. Show me the balls. I don't, you know, and like Landau looked scared in that game at times. Golding's not scared. Golding's got balls. He's in the balls category.
Yeah.
Nick Kay does what he's told.
Yep.
If he's told to show balls, he'll show balls. If he's told not to show balls, he will not show his balls. you know, these guys, but there's a couple of, but man, there's Estonians, Eastern Europeans. They're absolutely nuts. Love them to death, but they're nuts. There's no fear. And in a bronze medal game, that's critical. I'm right on the fence. I'll give an answer on the day. I'm not going to do it here.
Okay. Who you got for gold?
USA.
Yeah, okay. Even close? Like France beat them earlier.
Oh, it'll be close.
Can they do it again?
It'll be close. I think the USA are a bit ready for the switching and they're going to work out something to do with when Gobert switches on to Durant or whoever. I think they're going to settle. I think they've settled into the tournament as well. I thought there was a bit of fatigue coming in. Guys have just jumped off the plane from the finals. I thought they looked spectacular. And while France looked good in this game and this was a nice, fun game,
yeah,
it was not the opponent. I thought they got landed a cheap shot on the US when they beat them.
Yep.
And I don't think that'll happen in the gold medal game. I think USA by 10 plus.
Okay. That reminds me. What do you think? Before I get to that question I meant to ask earlier, we talked about Gorgian's hiccup in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Who won the coaching battle, Gorgian or Pop? Oh,
don't make me say this. I don't like Popovich. I jumped the gun on that one. I call this offensive playbook a spruce goose, and that he looked like known psychopath Howard Hughes. Didn't quite come off. I think there was a clear – Popovich, and the reason why I say that is there was a clear line of demarcation where it was like Australia laid a blow, America felt the blow,
yep,
sorted the blow, and then did something different going forward and knew they had to hold Mills and held him all game and didn't give him an inch at all.
Yeah.
The only shot Mills hit was that crazy degree difficulty, the three.
Two guys diving at him.
Yeah. But they stuck to that game plan. They said, we're going to let Nick Kay be open. If you dare put Dellavedova on the court, we're going to let him have space. They just constricted everything from that point. So, I thought Popovich was able to hold the guys accountable. And I thought Gorgian let guys go off in a few directions.
Yep.
So that's my answer.
Well, to answer your other question, I think USA will run away with the gold medal. I think they'll win by 15 or more.
Okay.
I think, but the real fun game to watch will be the bronze medal game. For all the reasons
you said. It's going to be hard fought.
Even contest.
Who play a similar style. It's going to be fantastic. Like, win or lose, you know, you're going through a good team. If you're going to win, it's not like you've got a bronze medal game against, you know, some team that got through on a forfeit or default. You Australia's going to earn it. So I want to do this 3-2-1 voting for Australia. Who do you think was the best player for the Boomers in this game?
In the game?
Yeah, in the game against USA. Can I give my answer and then you got time to think?
Yep, okay.
I'll go in ascending order. One vote, I had Chris Golding. And I know that might seem crazy, but he came off the bench to shoot the ball and he shot the ball quite well.
Yep.
When the game was on the line.
Yep.
Two votes, Dante Exum.
Yep.
Shot at a high percentage, did some good things, did a couple of bad things, but mostly good.
Yep.
And then three votes, I thought it was Nick Kay. Grab rebounds, defended, scored. I just thought he was the guy. Mills obviously had better stats, but they were kind of empty calories.
Yep.
Joe Ingles went missing. Landau had a lot of points again, but was kind of a little bit more famine than feast. I had Nick Kay. I thought he was the guy who threw the whole game. He was there. He was there throughout the whole thing. So
yeah,
if you had to pluck out a three-vote getter in a big loss.
It's pretty tough. Maybe I'll give one vote to Duop Reath. He came on, did nothing wrong, scored a bucket. one vote I would probably give to I'll give it to Paddy Mills because he just absorbed so much attention. A down game, yet still top scored, I think it was.
Yep,
so it took the heat. Two votes, probably K. This is a tough one. Probably K for the similar reasons you outlined. And probably three for Exum.
Yeah, right.
Which is it's not an easy three to give, but I'd liked that he stood up in the moment. He made a couple of really big three-pointers.
Big dunk.
He was the one that really lit the fire under the Boomers.
When the Boomers went up 15, he sort of had most of those points to take it there. I like that answer.
So that's probably where I'd go, but tough.
Yeah, Nikkei and Exum, I thought, were the two guys that held true to form. To them. What time are we at? Just over 30 minutes. Last thing I've got is the commentary. I've really realized something from this Olympic commentary. Two's company and three is a crowd. I think that I really enjoy, like I remember back in the day with the NBA stuff, like it was, you know, Marv and the Czar Fratello, you know, those two guys. And it just had, it was a conversation and you were voyeuristically listening in on it. And I preferred that. And it's same with podcasting. It's essentially a podcast that you can't see them. You're just listening. And people prefer it when it's 1-2 rather than 3 is a hard thing to juggle.
Yep.
And I felt that. And I feel like that has to be John Casey and it's Andrew Gaze. I thought when they're doing it together, it's just Gaze is lighthearted. Casey's really good.
Yep.
It's conversational. That's basketball now. I'm confident to say three people, unless that third person's courtside and you throw to them at quarter time. Two in the booth. What do you think?
Well, I think you're on a good thing. I will say that as much as terrible as the official Olympic broadcast commentators have been, they've been pretty damn bad. Talk about not knowing the rules. Those guys have no effing clue at all. Right. But I like the way that they attempt to call the game. They don't overcall it, which is a tendency, again, Australians always have to do. And John Casey's guilty of this. You know, swings the ball around to Exum, who passes it to K, who switches over. Yeah, you don't have to describe every movement of the ball. And I think that's where we let ourselves down. I think if you made it two guys with a chat, a direction of what the game's doing, but not describing it blow by blow, that's where we've got to get to.
What do you think of Andrew Bogut in commentary?
Well, I didn't listen to too much, to be honest. Most of the time I was preferring the Olympic
I've been all on
stream.
Channel 7. I don't mind when it flashes off to another sport. I that's part of the Olympic experience to me. I'm not that hell-bent on just watching, you know, the game. I'm okay with that.
I'm hell-bent on watching the game, but I'm not hell-bent on hearing fake crowd, which is just too much.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the quiet and listening to the hearing of the players. Mm. And I kind of like that subdued approach to the game. So I've enjoyed I've hated the commentary, but I've enjoyed the commentary, if that makes sense.
So you haven't heard a lot of Bogut?
Not a lot. I did watch it. I did watch today's game on 7, though, with Bogut and stuff.
What do you think?
Kind of a bit. I get a bit tired of the biased commentary. Like, they're obviously commentating for an Australian audience, and they're just commentating one side of the game. I don't love it.
And that's Bogut in particular. I think with Bogut as well, sort of the... Like using the commentary to kind of settle old scores, and I just felt someone needs to tap him on the shoulder and be like, you're dragging the mood down a bit. he can be dragged into the muck and mire and kind of get a little bit negative.
Yep.
And also like define yourself by what you like, not by what you don't like, or at least at the very least a marriage of the both or a balance of both. And I thought he'd tend to skew to that sort of cynical side, and I'm sort of like, you are commentating the game on the 7 network, not 7 basketball, not on a stream for big basketball. You know, this is school kids are tuning in, people have never seen this sport before, people who speak English as a second language, the energy must be up. If you want to do a real, you know, slagging off guys behind the scenes, that's cool, do it in podcast form. But on Channel 7, it's about bringing energy and selling this game to a whole new audience. People that have never been involved with this game. They perhaps don't want to know the like minor little machinations and the sort of jibes with gays. There was a funny moment early in the game. I've forgotten now, but I remember gays kind of having a swipe at, sorry, Bogut having a swipe at gays, and gays went quiet for a while. Good couple of 5-6 beats. And was kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if the hand was over the mic being like, can we not do this on the air?
Wow.
And then he came back to it. I'll have to remember what it was about. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't place it.
I wish I remembered now. And people, if you're listening, if anyone remembers what it was, tweet us at tweet at us, NBL Pocket Pod, Andrew Canyon, at Andrew Canyon. I can't believe I've forgotten. But yeah, I think it was.
It's been a big day.
Load management.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Bogut turns to Gaze and goes like, load management, you wouldn't know much about that, implying the Sydney Kings overworked him. And Gaze went quiet. Gaze did not want to, you know, drudge that up then and there. So that I found interesting. But and that's it. Man, and when is the bronze medal game? Do you know?
I saw something saying it was 12:30 on Saturday, but take that with a grain of salt.
12:30 afternoon.
Yeah, and that could be Western time. I may be. I've got 10:30 a.m. Western, 12:30 where you are.
What a horrible start time.
I don't know if that's true though, so don't to check it.
Check your listings, everyone. But yeah, it should be a good game. No doubt about it.
Yep.
All right, Andrew.
It's been a pleasure.
30 minutes, always. Take it easy.